Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Yeah, my name is JD, part of the pastoral team here at City Life, if I haven't met you, and huge advocate of the best TV show ever, The Chosen. I love it so much, you guys. It's so good. It's so helpful. It's just so, like, for me, I wanted to start with that for a reason. I just want to, like, put you in that mindset. What would it be like to be standing in front of Jesus, who you've been following, and you're just like, you want to learn all the time, just like we would from anybody that we really appreciate or value. I want to hear, I want to understand you better. And you're hearing this prayer for the first time. I mean, come on, roughly 2,000 years ago, this conversation happened. And it was so important, they decided to document for all time. Like, have you, I don't know about you, but like I haven't, but have you ever said something so profound that someone's like, whoa, wait, write that down. People for the next 2,000 years need to know what you just said. I don't think I've said anything quite that profound. But Jesus, everything he said was so crucial, and they were right there just receiving. And, you know, so they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Now, they're not saying, Jesus, we don't know how to pray. They actually know how to pray better than any of us. They knew. They were trained in this. They knew how to pray. What they were saying was, Jesus, we want to know how you pray. Like, what's the Rabbi Jesus prayer? Can we know that? What do you say? I think that's amazing. I mean, that's gold. That's like the greatest musician or the greatest athlete in the world giving you all his tips or tricks. It's like, here's what I do. Nobody else knows, but here it is. And you're just like, what? But this is better. This is better. In 62 words, Jesus gives us possibly the most dense, rich example of how to communicate with God. It is powerful. It is relevant. It is beautiful. It is probably the most famous prayer. In fact, I have a picture here. One of my favorite possessions was given to me. Do you guys have that? This Bible was given to me. It's like 143 years old. It was from 1882, and it is this beautiful, beautiful Bible. But then in the back of the Bible, there was a picture of the Lord's Prayer, which I framed, and so I've got that hanging up, and that is like, again, just such so old, but just so beautiful. And to me, it just represents like how timeless this is. What Jesus said was so timeless that it deserves some attention. It deserves our attention. And man, these words have lasted 2,000 years. It's more than words on paper. It's an eternal truth. And so I want to invite you just for a minute. Would you all stand? It's just good to, I don't know, just good to stand again anyways. We're going to read it together, the Lord's Prayer. And it is, for most of you, on a little piece of paper on your seat, but it will be on the screen as well. And we're going to read this together. You know, many of you have memorized it, maybe in a different translation. I'm going to do out of the New Living Translation, because I'm the one up here, so that's what I'm doing. And so if it's different than you know, I think that's actually a good thing. It'll maybe give you a fresh perspective on it. And some of you, you've never heard this prayer. You're like, I don't even know what the Lord's Prayer is. I love that. That's amazing. You're here. I hope that you can, whether you say it or just listen, receive its power. But we're going to read this together. So why don't we do that? Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Oh, it's so good. Now, some of you were like, wait, isn't there more to that? Well, some translations do include an ending that was believed to have included because it was sang by the early Christians, and it says, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Many of you know that. All right, you can sit down. This prayer. Today is the third week that we've been focusing on the Lord's Prayer. We're giving it its due diligence because there's just so much to unpack all the time. And Pastor Mike started, he gave us an overview of this prayer, which has two halves. Each of those halves has three requests, as you can see on your little picture there. And we're going to kind of look at that. But yeah, there's the first half focuses on God's purposes in the world, and my wife Joy last week focused on this, unpacking that. So Matthew 6:9, our Father in heaven. Jesus' favorite term for God was Father. He loved it. It was an intimate term. And the cool thing is he goes from my Father, and he says, hey, guess what? I'm going to include you in this. Let's say our Father. He's inviting us into something bigger. But not just Father, our Father in heaven. So it's a way of acknowledging God's universal power and presence and how he is above and over all things. I'm skimming these because my wife did a great job last week. You can go back and listen to it if you want. But after addressing God, then the prayer continues with three requests to God. The first one in verse 9, may your name be kept holy. And holy is just a fancy word for set apart. Like may you be set apart above all things, signifying God's one-of-a-kind status. Verse 10, may your kingdom come soon. Our Father is a king with a kingdom. It's a holy realm full of all that is good and right and perfect, and Jesus wants us to ask for that realm to come here and invade our world. Imagine just like, you know, when you're in outer space and it's like the dark world and all the pinpricks of light where the cities are, it's like that. It's like, okay, we've got this just, there's darkness and we just need the pinpricks. God, would you let your kingdom shine through all over this world? That's what we need. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? It's like, may our desires be like your desires. Whatever you're doing up there, God, would you please, we could really use it. Would you please do that down here? I could use it at my work, in my family, in the world, in all the things. God, we really could see, I would love to see your will being done. So the first half of prayer puts our focus on God and what he wants. And you can see that. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the second half of the prayer shifts the focus to us. Not in a selfish way, but it shifts it to personal requests for daily living. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So that's my focus today. And most of what I'm sharing comes from what I've learned and researched through the Bible Project podcast, which is so good. If you want to listen to more on this and go even deeper, because some of you guys love that, I would encourage you, you can check that out. It's pretty amazing. So we're going to jump in to verse 11, give us today the food we need. Give us today the food we need. Well, that's about as basic as it gets, doesn't it? Right? It's like asking God, just provide food. Like, would you just take care of me? Another translation says daily bread. Many of you would know it that way. Give us our daily bread. Food is important for nourishment and for community. In fact, I would, like, we value food in many aspects. It's why we're doing the table gatherings. You know, you heard that in church news. I really want to encourage you. You probably just skimmed. Maybe you were paying attention. Maybe you weren't. We'll mention again at the end of service, but we want to give you opportunities to get around the table, connect, because food is meant to bring community together and sustain us and all of those things, and I would really encourage you. This is a fun new way we're trying it. Jump in. Try it. It's going to be awesome. So is this prayer really just about food and daily bread? Like, is it like, God, give me my carb intake for the day? Is that what he's saying? No, that is not what he's saying. Some of you are like, I don't even eat bread. Fair. Jesus is using imagery. This is, again, the more we dig, the more we discover. So Jesus is actually intentionally using this wording because it reflects imagery from Israel's story when they journeyed through the wilderness. Okay, whether you know the story or not, and God provides just enough bread for each day, and we're going to look at that. So actually, back in the book of Exodus, we're going to see this in Exodus 16. The Israelites are out, they've been out of Egypt, they've been freed. They were slaves for so long, they're freed, they're trying to figure out, like, who are we? They're walking in the wilderness, God is taking them to a destination, but they're whiners and they're complainers. And they're like, we want food, we want to go back, at least we had food there. And then says this, then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day, the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. Okay, pay attention to that word test. That's going to come in later. So each morning, they wake up after God has declared this, and they find this fine, flaky stuff on the ground called manna, which they can take and make food out of. They're only allowed to pick enough food to make, enough of it to make food for that day. That's it. Take more, and they find out it goes, because some did, it's like, well, I want more. They take more, instantly moldy the next day, useless. They always have to stay fresh every day. The story probably sits weird for us, I think, as North Americans, in many ways. Like, we're guilty of hoarding our resources out of fear, or worry, or greed, or whatever we might decide. And we often trick ourselves into putting our faith in our emergency fund, which an emergency fund is a good thing for when your heater goes in your house. It is a good thing. But putting our faith in that is probably not. It's good to plan ahead. The book of Proverbs talks lots about storing up, preparing, being blessed so you can be a blessing. So there is an element of that, but that's not where we find our security. And that's what Jesus is dialing in on. God is the one who sustains us, not ourselves. You are not God. You are not your provider. God is your provider. And when we start to have more than we need for even right now, we kind of get comfortable. We get self-focused. I'm good. I can coast now. I'm good. I'm set up. We're rolling it. I won the lottery. I don't need to do nothing. Like, if we have more than enough, we just begin to coast. And that God can't work with that. That is not what God wants to work with. So Jesus isn't saying don't plan and don't save. What he's really saying is don't forget that no matter how you plan and what you save, that you should choose an attitude that God will provide what you need today. That's the whole point of the manna story. God is giving us a taste of heaven, a little slice of Eden, right? The Garden of Eden, his perfection, his everything, his provision. He's giving a slice of that every day. Every day he's offering something. And just one day at a time, because he's just like, hey, come back tomorrow. I got more for you. Hey, come back tomorrow. I got more for you. Hey, I don't know what you've been up to. I don't know what you've been thinking, but guess what? Come back tomorrow. I got more for you. I'm your provider. I have what you need. I have what you need, but I'm not going to dump it all I'm not going to dump it all on you all at once. I will give you what I need a day at a time. And that's important, because why is he doing this? It's not to keep us on a leash. Oh, no, don't go too far. No. He doesn't need to keep us on a leash. What he's doing is he's inviting us. He's reminding us constantly. He is our provider every day because we so quickly forget. If we're being honest. If we say, man, when everything's going wrong in our world, God, where are you? Like, we'll turn to God. People that have never prayed their whole life will pray when things start going wrong. But when things are going well, God who? God who? What? This is me. I did this. And we forget, even if we don't mean to. So God is saying, I want you to have the mindset that I will take care of you every day. Keep coming back. Keep remembering who I am, what I've done. And it's actually about being present daily. Like, God wants to teach us to just be present, not trapped in the past, not just focused on the future, but present, to stay in a posture of trust and gratefulness and surrender. We need to daily realign and see God as our provider. And I would say not just physical food. Like, yes, God, provide for us financially so that we can have the food we need to make a meal today. But also, God, what do I need today? For me, I have a list. I have the Lord's Prayer written downstairs in my little area. And I include other things. God, what do I need? What's my daily bread? Energy, joy, passion, creativity, patience. I could use a fresh dose of that today. I'm not relying on my stale patience from 3 years ago, whatever. I need some fresh patience today. And it's not praying, God, give me the food I want. Ooh, I hope he doesn't answer that. I want all the bad stuff. God, don't give me the food I want. It's give me what I need. What do I need? And guess what? Today matters, Lord. Give me what I need for this moment so that I can do what you want me to do today, because you know better than I do what I need. So God, I'm not even coming to you and saying, give me donuts today, God. Give me the, no. God, whatever you think I need, would you give it to me today? Which I would also suggest is a great way to start your day so that you don't get to the end of the day and be like, God, give me patience. Although I needed it 12 hours ago with my coworker. No. God, I want to start my day. Like, would you fill me up with what I need so that I can head out into my workplace, so I can head out to my family or my school or whatever, and I can actually have what I need to reflect you well and not be a gong show. I would like to say, because I kept catching myself even as I was working on this, I say I and me a lot, but the fun fact is there's no I in the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if you notice that. There's God and there's us. Us, we, our. I think he did that on purpose. Jesus is teaching us to think beyond ourselves So when I'm asking for patience today, I might pray that over my whole family. In fact, I have a scripted prayer I often pray, my morning prayer, and it includes every single one of my family members, my wife and my kids, and it's like, I declare this over us today, not just me. And so I think there's something valuable in praying, not just for yourself, but your children, your friends, your coworkers. These are important. Let's go to the second request. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Maybe we should just say that together. Say, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And Pastor Mike already set this up really well, and you could tell there was just something in the atmosphere. It's like, I trusted that. I trust our spiritual father to know when he's going to dial in on something. It's like, yes, good, okay, this is great. He knows what's going on in the room and what we need, and there's something powerful about forgiveness. So chances are, there's a lot of us here that need to do some forgiving. Or be forgiven by God. Forgiveness is super central to Jesus' teaching. An important element of his kingdom, but he says there's a catch. It's forgive us our sins as, or to the same extent, that we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus, would you forgive me to the same extent that I will forgive others? This is really, in fact, this is so important to Jesus that as soon as he finishes teaching people, his disciples, this very potent prayer, he actually immediately cycles back to it to talk about forgiveness again and emphasize the importance. Out of everything he says in the prayer, forgiveness is the one thing he says, I'm going to give some extra weight to this, and you can look at this. So he reads through this last part, give us today the food we need, forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sin against us, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. He finishes his prayer, and then he continues to teach, and he jumps right back to forgiveness. He goes, hey, just in case you missed it, let's talk about forgiveness a little more. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus forgives all my sins. Yep. Did you catch the caveat? Did you catch the disclaimer there? Just sit in that for a minute. I don't know if you've really considered that, but that's pretty sobering in my opinion. If you forgive others, God will extend his beautiful forgiveness in and through your life. If you refuse, by choice, I'll never forgive that person. I couldn't. And I'm not saying what they did wasn't bad or anything, but I'm just saying if you're like, I'm cutting off the source of forgiveness, I will not extend that, then God goes, okay, if you cut that source, I actually can't flow through you, so I will not forgive your sins. So you are sitting in your own unforgiveness as you refuse to extend forgiveness. I think that's brutal. But Jesus wants to really dial in on that. If you're a follower of Jesus and you profess to be all in, whatever you say goes, Lord, well, then you actually can't ignore what he's saying there. If there's someone in your life you have not or will not forgive, you are willingly cutting yourself off from God's forgiveness flowing into your life. And I think Jesus doubles down on this for a reason. I think he does, because he knows it's one of the hardest things we'll ever do. You're allowed to raise your hand. Have you ever had a hard time forgiving someone for something? Come on, right? It sucks. It's hard. We've all been hurt. We've all been wronged, and we need to sort out how we feel about it and how we're going to relate to them now that this has happened. Like, it's a weird, awkward tension. I hate it. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, he says, if someone wrongs you, you should go talk to them. But we're like, I don't want to because confrontation sucks, and it's hard, and I have to be vulnerable. So here's what forgiveness is. It's difficult, but it's freeing, it's life-giving, and it's restorative. Here's what forgiveness is not. Forgetting what they've done, endorsing their behavior. No, it's not. Forgiveness isn't even about the other person. It's really about you choosing to let go. The Greek word for forgive means to release or set free from obligation. It's not allowing the wrong they did to have power over us. It's releasing our right to get even. Oh, I'll show them. I'll never talk to them again. They'll remember forever. I have not forgiven them. I have power over them. Nope, I'm releasing that hold, because I'm not doing anything good with that anyways. It's saying, you don't owe me anything. I'm free. Even if things aren't great between us or whatever, you have hurt me, but I'm going to choose to be free. Because you will be hurt, and you will be wronged. Like Thanos, it is inevitable. That's my Marvel reference for the day. But it is. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. But choosing to daily pray, oh Lord, forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sin against us, it shapes you. It shapes you into the kind of a person who can handle being wronged by others and move forward with minimal damage. Bad things will happen. You will always have a reason to withhold forgiveness. You always have an opportunity to withhold forgiveness. But God is training us to let go of that so that we can move forward and he can guard our heart and he can help us through these things. Jesus isn't saying you're never going to get hurt again. He's saying when you get hurt, he will empower you to not get stuck in it. I hope that's for somebody today. It's for me. But forgiving others of their sins, it has to start with me acknowledging my sins. I never sin, so why would I? You know, everyone's just against me. No. It starts with, God, would you forgive me so that through me, I can extend your forgiveness? Jesus, forgive me. I sin every day. But because you can forgive me, I will choose to forgive others. And Jesus includes forgiveness in his prayer as a practical way to see his kingdom come, to make his will be done. That's what he's doing. And it's kingdom living on earth as it is in heaven. All right, let's look at the third and final request. And we can read this one together too, Matthew 6:13. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Another version says, do not lead us into temptation. Which, if you sometimes it's good to stop and think about the words you're saying. Probably a good idea. Okay, don't lead us into temptation, which kind of implies God can lead us into temptation. Please don't lead me into temptation kind of implies, God, it's possible that that could be the direction I'm going. It's the Lord calling right now. But that can't be true, right? It can't be true that God could lead us into temptation. Well, let's go back two chapters and we'll see. Matthew 4 says this, then Jesus was led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the other part of God, into the wilderness. So he was led by God, by the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. If you've ever done a 40-day fast, I have. You get very hungry. It is pretty intense. So he is at a very vulnerable place. But during this time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. Shut up, devil. That's why I wore my preaching shirt today. Shut up, devil. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. No, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, it might seem like Jesus is saying, I don't want bread. That's not what he's saying. What he's really doing is he's thinking back thousands of years to when Israelites faced a similar test in the wilderness. And in the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to look at it in a minute, it's a book of the Bible that many of you have read, maybe skimmed, maybe you've never opened, you're like, I just like the New Testament, like whatever, and you're like, I don't get that book. You should know this, Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy more than any other book, book of the Bible, so it's important. We need the Old Testament. Jesus said, he said, I didn't come to abolish the law and make the Old Testament outdated, I came to fulfill the law and prove that I'm what the Old Testament is talking about. And every story is whispering my name. So we need all of it. That's just a side note. Read the whole thing because it all points to Jesus and it's beautiful. Anyways, in Deuteronomy, Moses is reminding the Israelites in the middle of tests and temptations to return to the old ways because this season is pretty hard. Deuteronomy 8 says this. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you, and testing you. So God did this. He's acknowledging it. It's like God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you, testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you'd obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Well, where did we just hear that? So Jesus quotes this on purpose. The Israelites are tested in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus is tested in the wilderness for 40 days. And in wilderness moments that we've all experienced, dry times in our lives, we've all experienced just tough times. God, where are you? What's happening? Nothing seems like it's moving. Dry times in my marriage, dry times in friendships, whatever it is. In dry times, I think sometimes God lets us go hungry to stir our humility to realize we need God to survive. Going back to daily bread, really. But tests and temptations, they show us what's in our heart. Do we truly trust God or do we trust our own plans? If we're being honest. Jesus speaks to the enemy and he's telling the devil, it's like, I'm not reliant on what you can give me. God takes care of my needs. God takes care of my needs. I'm not reliant on what you can give me. It's the person who quit smoking but is still craving another hit. It's the former porn addict who is sitting in front of his computer bored and unsupervised and wondering what he should do. And sometimes I think God is watching just to see. And he's like, I freed you from this. I freed you from, yeah, man, you've been delivered from this thing. I've helped you out of this habit or this situation. I freed you from this. But you know what? I'm going to allow this moment to see what you do. Do you really trust me? Do you rely on me? Will you ask me for help in your weakness right now? Instead of, oh, I guess I'm tempted. It's like, oh, I'm tempted and I don't like this. God, I could use your help right now. And he's saying, do you want me to walk you out of this situation? So I think God doesn't just sweep in all the time and like, don't do it, and like kick over the computer or something like that. He's just like, he's right there beside him. He's just like, what are you going to do? I will help you. I will give you what you need, but you got to ask for it. I want to know that you actually care and you trust me in all of this. And tests happen. Temptations are a reality, and God will use situations to strengthen us. Now, as a disclaimer, I know that God does not entice us to sin. He's not setting us up to fail. He doesn't want us to sin. That's the enemy. The enemy, well, when a hard time comes, swoops in and tries to get you to mess up. All right? God wants to walk you out of these things. And that's why Jesus told us to pray for help. So, this last request in the Lord's Prayer, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. I think it's really a two-parter. Part one, I would rather not go through this test I'm in right now. And fill in the blank for you. Work, school, whatever, family dynamic, whatever it is for you. I would rather not go through this test right now. Would you please not lead me into this test? I see it coming, or I'm worried it's going to happen. But, part two, if I do have to go through this, if it is inevitable, then would you please just rescue me from the trap of the enemy? Whatever he's going to do to try and knock me down and off my feet. That line in the Lord's Prayer is born out of Jesus' own experience. He doesn't want to be tempted or tested, but when he is, he relies on God to rescue him, God his Father, which is just, I think it's just so crazy. You know, if you didn't know, there's three parts to God. God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit, they are all one. It's crazy. It's amazing. Our God is so big. But just that dynamic there of relying as he's here in a physical body to be a sacrifice for us, everything he had to do, he was so reliant. I just think that's so important. And he says, we can actually pray the same way as him. God, I'm going to go through hard times. I don't want to, but sometimes that's life. So if I've got to do hard things, would you be there with me? Rescue me and walk me through it. Walk me out of it. I can't do it on my own. I'll probably mess this up. What a gift to be allowed to use the same words our Savior uses, words that he crafted personally to sustain him and keep him going right until the very end. Jesus, he knows what's coming, and he's praying these prayers because he knows he's going to be arrested. He knows he's going to be beaten. He knows he's going to be crucified. He knows all that is heading his way. The worst possible torturous death. And so he gets alone with God in a garden at midnight, the night of his being wrongfully arrested and taken away, all of this. He knows what's coming. And it says he felt crushed with grief to the point of death. If you've watched Chosen Season 5, you see that. Just that, like, it was a great portrayal. But just like, could you even imagine what it would be like to know what's about to happen? And it's more than just, owie, this is going to hurt. It's like, I'm literally taking the sins of the world on me. Oh, I hope I got this. I know I'm the Son of God, but like, I still feel the weight of it. And he says in Matthew 26, he says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. So even Jesus is saying, he's like, I don't actually want to do this, but yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Well, aren't they the same will? He's just saying in my human state, whatever, all the parts of me that just want to give in and, you know, embrace temptation, whatever, I need to focus on your will. My Father, your will be done. These are prayers he prayed his whole life. He's praying the Lord's Prayer because it was personal to him. And he's surrendering his desires. So his prayer is our prayer. Our Father, I want what you want. It looks like going your way is going to lead me through a test. Some of you, choosing God's way, you actually know it's going to get harder. Ooh, I'm going to have a conversation with somebody. Ooh, I'm going to have to stand up for godly principles at work, or I'm going to have to, you know, whatever it is. It looks like you're going your way is leading me through a test. And if I'm honest, I don't really want to be here and go through this. Please spare me this. However, if I must go through this, then please rescue me from the traps and the snares and the lies of the enemy. He is not going to come out on top. You will come out on top. That is our prayer. That is our cry. And we need to just remember all that he's doing. God is doing something so beautiful, so powerful, so significant, and we need to remember that. And so, yeah, as we go through all of this, I just think it's so hard. And I realize I don't have my last page of notes. Everything we face is meant to be surrendered to Jesus Christ. We must keep bringing it back. We must keep coming back. And I think that it is something to celebrate. It is something to know what he did for us is so powerful. Jesus overcomes death. He is risen from the grave. He endured it all. And if you think of it, you just look at that prayer in itself and look at how he walked that out. How our Father in heaven, he knew, he was talking to the Father, that I'm going to keep your name holy. He kept his name holy by living out all that he did. He's bringing the kingdom of God. He's doing God's will on earth as in heaven. He becomes daily bread so he can, or he becomes the bread of life, it says. I am the bread of life, so that he can be daily bread for us. He makes a way for forgiveness of sins. And he doesn't give in. He powers through the test. Don't let us yield to temptation. God, I don't want to compromise. He doesn't compromise. He endures the test, lives a perfect life, dies sinless to become a sacrifice for us so that he can make a way, because he is rescued from the evil one 3 days later when he is risen from the dead. And we believe this with all our heart, that it is not just that he died on a cross, it's that he rose again, defeated sin and death and shame and all those things to bring a new creation reality for us and set us free. That is what he does for us. And so now he is more than that. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our High Priest. He has so many amazing names. In fact, they celebrate that. And in Hebrews 4, it says this. It says, So then, since we have a great High Priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do. So if you're like, this God that you speak of, no. He knows what you faced. He knows what it's like to be persecuted, to be pushed down, to be belittled, whatever you have felt. He's like, I get that, but guess what? I didn't give into that. I walked it out. Yet he did not sin. So what do we do with this amazing news? So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When do we need it most? In our tests, in the thing you're facing right now this week, the thing that's been on your mind this whole morning, and you're like, get out of there, I'm trying. It's God's actually like, no, that's okay. That thing that won't go away, let me come and fix that. Like, bring me into that pain. Bring me into that tough situation. I will walk you out of this. Jesus has a plan. Can we stand up? Because how do we do this? How do we come boldly to the throne of our gracious God? It's through the prayer that we've been focusing on this entire time. It is coming back to the goodness of God. It is aligning ourselves. And maybe it's something that you just choose to start praying regularly in the morning, in the afternoon, night. The Israelites would have prayed it like 3 times a day, to remind themselves and refocus themselves. I mean, come on, if there was something in your life that you just had constant reminders that kept you on track, you'd be crushing it. So imagine if you just, maybe it's putting reminders in your phone or something. It's like, I'm gonna pray this simple prayer that takes me less than a minute to say. I'm gonna say it regularly so that maybe I should forgive someone today. Oh yeah, do I need to ask forgiveness for something today? Oh yeah, whatever it might be. He's calling it to mind. And so today I want to end. We're going to say this prayer together, but I want to invite you to pray it. Whether you have been following Jesus your whole life, pray this in a new way. Or whether you're here and today is the first time and you're just like, maybe today's the day I'm saying yes to Jesus. Like, I will go all in. What I have done is not working. My life, as beautiful as I've painted it to look like on the outside or whatever, it seems great. There is something more going on. I got to surrender that to Jesus. Today is the day to do that. And I think this is the prayer to do that. So let's end praying the Lord's Prayer all together one more time as we say, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Amen. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.